You can be opening up your Bibles. You're not going to be surprised at this. Mark chapter 4 and also Isaiah 55. Put a marker there. Now, I have to preface it like this because there might be people watching the Sunday night service who have not had the opportunity to see the Sunday morning video that was played today. So let me summarize quickly what happened this morning for you in case that's you. This morning we played a video from a service done at Pastor Bronk Flint's church in Immokalee, Florida. And I just checked to see the audio at least will be at the Dave Roberson website so that you can hear that if you'd like to. If you'd like to see the video, then you can go to bronkflint.org and look at the service on July 1st, the morning service. It's called Celebration Sunday. Now, in a nutshell, I can't begin to, was that awesome or what this morning? But now, in a nutshell, let me summarize the basic thing that happened. Pastor Bronk and Candy had been preaching there at that church for over 20 years. There's always been a mortgage on the property. At first, I don't know how it was arranged, but eventually somebody, a wealthy person, offered to take over the mortgage. They paid off the bank or the lender, whoever it was, and they said, we're going to carry it for you interest-free. And at that point, there was about $90,000, or at least as of this week, there was about $90,000 left on the mortgage. And I think it was originally about $180,000. So it's been in Bronk's heart, of course, to pay that off, and they have paid on it, and at times they could pay a reasonable amount. At other times, he borrowed one of my phrases, during those times when money would stay away in great abundance, then they would pay a pittance on it. But, you know, always trying to do something. And the basic testimony from this morning is this. In 1 week's time, after all these years, for all effective purposes, the mortgage is paid, $90,000. That same week, they needed some roofing repairs done at the church building. They, without soliciting, without asking, a roofing contractor brought his crew and several trucks, and these are flat roof type buildings. They redid four roofs, over $20,000 worth of work, and when he gave them the invoice had stamped on it, paid in full. When Bronk went to pay the man who had the mortgage, roughly, and they had a $50,000 payment to pay on it, he says, I don't want this money. I like how Bronk says it. He said, if you could see the video, he gave the man the money. And as he's explaining, the guy looked at the check, and he gives it back to Bronk and poking it down in his hand, going, I do not want this. And effectively, it's paid. Okay? So in 1 week, now we have $90,000 mortgage effectively gone, over $20,000 worth of woofing, roofing and worth of is woofing, worth $20,000 worth of roofing paid in full. And since they didn't have to use the $50,000 on the mortgage, then they're going to use a portion of it to pay off the credit card debt that had come during the lean times. And he said, now it was less than $40,000, but he didn't say how much less. He said it was headed there, so maybe $20,000, $30,000, somewhere in that ballpark. So we've got $90,000 mortgage, maybe let's say $20,000 credit card debt, so that's $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, and then $20,000 worth of roofing. That's not a bad week. And you think, man, I want blessings like that. I want that to happen in my life. And I warned him at the beginning of the video. Now pay attention when he's giving his testimony. When he talks about years and talks about the confession. Because Bronk, he mentioned this, so I'll just go ahead and expound on it a little. A little over 2 years ago, I remember the phone call. He called me. And iron, you know, iron sharpens iron. And a brother was born for adversity. And sometimes you got to call a timeout. And if you got a friend that you can share with, it's okay, you know. It's like when you go in to get, if you are going to go see the doctor, that's not a time to hold fast your confession. You're going to him for, you know, tell him what's going on, okay? Well, there's times like that when you need to talk. And so Bronk called me. It was about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I think. And I love Bronk like a brother. He's probably as close as a brother to me, him and Jim Martin, as I've had in my life. I tell you, your heart goes out when your family is hurting, okay? But when they're, you know, if he needed $50 or $100 or $500, I might could have helped with that, and I would if I could, you know. But when it's, at the time, tens of thousands of dollars, it's beyond my ability, beyond his ability, like Alan was teaching this morning when he had, four or five guys get on Sam's back, it's beyond your strength, and it's beyond your friend's strength. So I remember that phone call, and you got to watch human sympathy, because the tendency with humans, and when I say this, I'm not saying withhold love. Love is different from human sympathy, okay? You got to go, you don't want to start going, oh, I know what you're going through. Yeah, in this life, things are just so hard, but on the other side, there's God. And start giving him your sob stories and tell him how your mountain is maybe bigger than his mountain. None of that is any good. What they need to know is you love them. You're with them no matter what. And if you really love them, you're going to give them the Word of God. Amen. So I remember that phone call, and I'm going to repeat a little bit of what he said this morning. He says, he was telling me the situation they were in. I said, let me get this straight. You guys are on the web now. You got your own website. It's World Wide Web, Bronk Flint Ministries International. Yes, that's right. And you got $100 in the bank. Been there. They said, actually, a little less than 100. And their crowd has diminished like our crowd has diminished, because they're not going to waver from the truth. And they've had people left because the message is hard. Okay? And sometimes, when people leave, do you know that their money normally goes with them? Have you all figured that out? They're not going to change the message. So I remember that phone call, and I talked with him, and I did share with him how. Now, it is good to share your testimony. If you've been through things and God has come through, boy, that's a good time. And I put him in remembrance of that time that we went through a period. And if I remember right, the worst that it got with us, we were about $46,000 in the hole on the credit card, and the devil was, and that lasted for a couple of years, several years, and the enemy just shouting in my ears, like he does any of you when you're standing on the word, this is not working, God is not going to come through, you are failing, you never heard God, on and on and on and on he goes. So not only are you dealing with the circumstances, but there's no telling how many devils have been assigned trying to push you off of the Word of God. But after talking with him, and I just put him back in remembrance, we're going to look at some of the same verses that we talked about on that phone call, and I told him, I said, there just isn't anywhere else to go. As long as you're doing what God told you to do, and as long as you're standing on His Word, wrong. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. I don't care what it looks like. You stay on the Word of God, and you do what He told you to do. And if we go down, brother, we'll just all go down together. Amen? Now, see, doesn't that sound great? But you got to. What I want to do tonight, see, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Put yourself in Bronk's shoes that night after calling here. We had our phone call. I encouraged him the best I knew how. I did. Gave him a little bit of direction about getting more specific by putting some numbers, you know, some things like that. But I want you to put yourself in his shoes when we hung up the phone. It's just you again, and you're there with the same problem you had before the phone call. And it's you going back into your closet, if you'll allow me. It's you going back to the Word yourself. Nothing has changed. Circumstances are bad. You're living on a credit card. You're obeying God best you know how. You talk to Gary or Dave or whoever, you know, whoever you talk to, but at the end of that conversation, it's you, God, and His Word. And I want you to know, because I've been there, I want you to know what it feels like, because every emotion that you have is going to fight you from going back in there. If you'll allow me, blowing the dust off of the Word of God and start again, sowing that Word into your heart and saying what God said in the face, just spitting in the face of the devil who says God's Word will not work for you. Did you find Mark 4? What if Jesus meant exactly what He said? What if the whole kingdom hinges on this? That's what He said, you know. Mark 4, we're going to pick it up in verse 13. Well, actually, let's pick it up in verse 11. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And He said unto them, know you not this parable? Now, He just got through teaching up here, if you back up, about the sower sowing. Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? This is the daddy of them all. And He starts explaining to him what it is. What is it that you sow? The sower sows the Word. Now, at the most basic level, Jesus is the Word. God sowed the seed of life in the seed we know as the human Jesus. You got that? He was the seed with life on the inside of Him. When you got born again, you individually, God sowed His Word in you. You heard it. You believed it. You acted on it. You received that seed. And when you did, life was imparted to you. Ultimately, that's what He's talking about. You got that? Some bring forth that image, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But it's also true that in every area of your life, God has given you His Word. He has given you His Word. And if you will sow that Word into your heart, you are God's garden. If you will sow His Word into your heart and keep it there, and tend it and water it. Now we know, add the image with your hoper, see that already accomplished. You can speed the process up, but still it takes time. It takes time. I know most people will not catch it. That's why I prefaced that video this morning. Pay attention to Bronk mentioning years. Because I'm telling you, even after that phone call, it's hard to go back in that closet. When everything is against you, every circumstance is bad, Gary didn't send a check. I was broken in debt before the call. I'm broken in debt after the call. And the only thing he told me was stay on the Word. You know, now your emotions are going to fight you. You're going back in there. And I want you to understand, did you hear what he said? It was about 2 years, a little over 2 years. Now, don't gloss over that. I'm not saying it requires 2 years, but 2 years. And he says, I got more. If you hear it, listen to it again. He says, I got more faithful than I ever have in my life, confessing the Word for the last 2 years. And you have available to you the same scriptures. We have them at our website. We've had them at Dave's website before. We have them in, you go to GaryCarpenter.org, you go to media, then you go to printed materials, and you'll find them there. Prosper One is the one that he mentioned that he printed and passed out to his church. There's also health confessions and other confessions there. So the Word, we've done everything we can to make it available and easy for you if you want to do it. But now look what Jesus said about the Word of God. Put that right there because it keeps attacking me. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Now, for today's lesson, you are the sower. The garden we're talking about is your heart. The word we're talking about is whatever word it is that you need. You find where God promised in His word a harvest that you need. And you begin sowing that word in your heart. You got it? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, and when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, I have been teaching confession for over 20 years, and I'm telling you right now, most people receive it with gladness when they first hear it. But most people are stony ground. Most of them don't last more than a week. They don't see results in a few days. It's over. They have no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, now notice, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In plain English, you get too busy with other things. Pretty soon, I mean, maybe you endured longer. Maybe you did more than a week. But pretty soon, this happened and that happened, and for long, months go by. Wasn't I going to confess the word? Wasn't I going to stand this time? And life just beat you out of it. Let me tell you this. I was raised in a family of farmers around Shawnee and Seminole, Oklahoma. I'm telling you right now, you can always re-sow your field. You may have had crop failure this year. Honey, there's a new season starting. Just start again. Just start again. I don't care what happened last year. Let's talk about a new harvest. You can start sowing that field again. Amen? It's never too late. Verse 20. And these are... Now this is... I declare in the name of Jesus, every person in the sound of my voice is good ground. You are good ground. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Smith Wigglesworth was known in his generation as the Apostle of Faith. You read books about him, just outstanding things happen. He one time told a man that had no foot, he had a foot on one leg and no foot on the other leg. And the guy came to be prayed for, and what Smith told him was, tomorrow go buy a pair of shoes. What? Yeah, tomorrow go buy a pair of shoes. In the name of Jesus, go buy a pair of shoes. He may have needed both feet. I really don't remember the story now. The details. All I know is somehow he made it to the shoe store the next day. And when the shoe salesman comes, said, what can I do for you, sir? He said, I'd like a pair of shoes. The guy says, what size? He's looking down, no foot. It doesn't matter. What color? It doesn't matter. He went and got a pair of shoes, brought it out, and as the story goes, when the man slipped that stub into the shoe, the foot formed on the end of the foot. Now, they called him the Apostle of Faith, okay? Some of the things you read about, he's the guy that stood a corpse up against the wall three times, commanded it to live, and every time it would crumple on the floor. They told him, he said, you've come too late. He said, God never sends me anywhere too late. And if I remember the story right, the fourth time he stood him up there, that person came to life. Now, that's a person worth listening to when it comes to faith, don't you think? When people would ask him, and if I'd ever been around him, I would have asked him too, what is the secret of great faith? He always quoted out of Mark chapter 4, and he would quote right here, verse 26, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. Now notice, he knoweth not how. And you don't need to know how. All you need to do, all you need to know is to sow the seed in your heart and tend it like any farmer would. You got it? Don't be digging it up. Don't come out in 2 or 3 days looking for corn. That's what the devil keeps trying to do. This is not working. Look for corn. No. You sleep and you rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. Listen, the life is already in God's Word. The image is already in there like any other seed. In Hebrews it said the Word of God is quick. That, not quickened, quick, which means it is alive. It is alive. And the image of what you need is already in God's Word. And the life is in it to bring it forward. You are the ground. You are the ground. And it's up to you whether you sow it and tend it and keep it. Smith says, first the blade. Don't stop then the ear. Don't stop then the full corn in the ear. If you don't quit, you'll have exactly what you say. What if Jesus meant exactly what he said? I believe he did. I'm getting some amens from the corner over here. Hallelujah. Now, go over to Isaiah 55 for a moment. This is what God says about his word. We went through a very similar thing, which Bronk made reference to. In the early days of our ministry, we were obeying God best we knew how. And for a season, the finances were there. You know, everybody's faith is strong while the money is there. Have you ever noticed that? But we entered a season where the money was staying away in great abundance, and I didn't know what else to do to obey God. And so we finally had to start using our credit card to buy postage and whatever. And if any money did come in, you know, the employees get paid first and we get paid second, if there's anything left. And long story short, that went on for years. You think the devil wasn't yelling in my ear? This is not working. You missed God. You know, you never heard God in the first place. On and on and on it goes. And that went on for several years, and to the point where that debt for the ministry got up to be almost $46,000, if I remember right. Credit card debt, too, which, how did Bronk say, that's highway robbery, you know, the interest, you know. And that's back when interest rates were pretty high. $46,000. If y'all ever hear the testimony, without us doing anything, we never sent a solicitation letter, never sent a agree with me in prayer letter, never let anybody know what was going on. We just kept standing on the word and kept doing what he told us to do. And in 1 year's time, God got us completely out of debt. It was just a miracle, miraculous thing. Got us out of debt. How I really know it was miraculous, those big gifts, $10,000, $7,000 that came in during that year, right after we paid that off, they quit coming. It was God. We didn't do it. He spoke. He did exactly what he told me in the beginning. He says, you obey me. You don't need to let anybody know any of your needs. He says, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and the ministry. And that is exactly what he did. Without us ever saying a word to anybody, he did that. Anyway, so Bronk had that. I've got testimonies. You're going to have, if you don't already have, you're going to have testimonies yourself. The same thing, sowing the word in your heart. I want to say it again. What if Jesus meant exactly what he said? That if you'll sow this word in your heart, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, for that person that will sow God's word and will not dig it up. Isaiah, here's what God says about his word. Isaiah 55. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now let's stop for a moment. I always think about Alan. I like how Alan says it, because my mind works a lot like Alan's. When trouble comes, Gary's mind and Alan's mind can normally think of 27 different ways to fix it. Well, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do that over there, we need to handle it this way. But see, that's human thoughts. That's my thoughts. And God's here right off telling you, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as... Yes, sir. Man, I was going to skip over that, but he won't let me. Many of you remember when I was doing the hula hoop message, and I was trying to show the difference between a two-dimensional world and, you know, we live in a three-dimensional world. We've got width. What is it? Length, width, and height, right? So we live in a three-dimensional world. We try and imagine what a two-dimensional world would be like. You know, there's only width and length. They have no concept of height, no concept of depth. What if there was a universe like that and there were beings that lived there? And so I would bring this hula hoop and I'd put it down on the floor and I said, let that hula hoop just represent a circle. And these beings live in that universe. There's only length and width, which is fine. They can move, they can do whatever they want, as long as they stay in the confines of that circle. But as soon as they would try and go outside that circle, they're going to hit that wall. And they have no concept of over. They have no concept of under. They have hit something impossible. In that universe, it is impossible. There is no way for them to be, quote, delivered. Isn't that right? But us... somehow, if we could observe their dilemma, and we're from a three-dimensional world, and the poor little creature just keeps bumping against the edge of that hula hoop, we might have mercy on them. And from our perspective, we just reach down. I'd say our ways are higher than their ways. Our thoughts are higher than their. They're thinking, this is impossible. Nobody in the history of ever got past this circle. And we're thinking, duh. With our thoughts and our ways, we would just reach down and pick the little creature up, set him down on the outside of the wall. It would make all the papers in that universe. Sam just disappeared. He was standing at the wall. He kept bumping against the wall. We don't know what happened. All of a sudden, Sam was gone. See, in their universe, they could never see what happened. They could only see the results of what happened. And they said, well, what happened to him? Well, we don't know, but we can hear him shouting from the other side. He's on the other side of the wall. We don't know how he got there. It's a miracle. And we're going, from the world we're from, this is pretty elementary stuff. God, he's being so gracious here. That's exactly what he's telling us. To us, it's impossible. Oh, this debt, this sickness, this, my kids, my job, my car, this is impossible. This is really hard. And God, can I give an eye roll for God? Oh, brother. For God, every problem you have is about as difficult as him reaching down and picking up that little creature and setting him over the wall. He says, listen, I gave you the answer. There's an answer I gave you from my world to your world. That will answer any problem you will ever have. And it is my word. That good stuff or what? Good stuff. Verse 9 again. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Well, that's pretty high. So are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now, we're all familiar. This is like God going, God is good doing, Jane, see the ball. He says, have you ever seen snow? Do you know how the snow works? What about rain? Surely you've seen rain. Have you noticed how it comes down? And when it comes down, it always works. It always waters. It always causes he said, in the same way that you've seen that, right? Little troop, little flock, you've seen that. We're all going, yeah, yeah, Daddy, we've seen snow. We've seen rain. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Now let's, stop. I'm asking you, how does God's word return to him? Unless you're going to speak it out of your mouth. It does not return to me void. Notice, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hello, thing whereunto he sent it. He sent his word and healed them. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever seen the rain? Yeah, I've seen rain. Have you ever seen snow? Yeah. Is the rain always, does it always do the same thing? Yeah, it does. It waters the earth. It causes the crops to grow. My word is exactly like that. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. God, come on. Come on, I'm trying to stay here. Jiminy. And look what he says then. For you shall go out with joy. Be led forth with peace. Now notice, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into seeing. See, that's the reasons that's there. If we had time, we'd go to Mark 11, 23, 24. You shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that that thing which you saith shall come to pass. You shall have what you saith. Meaning, the mountain will move. Now, I don't care how big it is. Well, my mountain is big. In that two-dimensional world, the circle was impossible. You could not get past the circle. But our thoughts are higher than their thoughts. Our ways are higher than their ways. It was no problem. And God's going, my word makes it no problem for everything you come up against. The mountains will break forth. They'll break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now notice, instead of the thorn, how many wants to live in thorns? I don't like to live in thorns. My life is all thorny. I got thorny kids, thorny job, thorny husband, and a thorny car. Sorry. I get tickled. It's like Jane see the ball, how he's trying to get this. Do you like to live in thorns? No, don't like. What about the briar patch? No, I don't want to live in the briars either. See? Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I'm tired of living in thorns. I'm tired of living in the briars. He says, if you plant, you can see what he's saying is, you can replant your garden. I don't care what's growing there now. Thorny stuff. Briary stuff, if that's a word. You can re-sow that garden of your life with my word. Every mountain will disappear. And instead of the thorn and the briar patch, you'll have this wonderful garden that brings forth good fruit. Now back up. I want to give you another example. See, this doesn't just word. This doesn't just work in the arena of finances. Now that one today that Bronk gave was talking about finances. But I want to expand your vision a little bit. This works. See, this is a calling in the lost service where we specifically make intercession for revival, calling our lost ones saved. This service is all about confession and calling those things which be not as though they were. Amen? Well, let me tell you another time. Now, Sue and I have three daughters. Angie's here tonight. When they were teenagers, they all three rebelled at the same time. And Angie always says, I rebelled the least. That's true. But at the time, listen, pray for any parents that has three teenagers in the house at the same time. Okay? And they all went into rebellion. And this was during the same period of time where I was attacked with melanoma cancer. And Sue had a mass growing in her female parts that we didn't know really how bad it was till later when they did the surgery. But it turned out to be, it grew to an 8-pound blood mass, the same size as a baby. Putrefied blood, said if that would have burst, it would have killed her, just poisoned her and killed her instantly, you know. It was a bad season. We had briars. We had thorns. And all three of our daughters were in rebellion at the same time. And I'm going to say it again because some people haven't heard this. Say, oh, yeah, well, your kids are drinking beer. Well, yeah, and other things. Amanda was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. She was facing a 12-year prison sentence. We're talking some rebellion here, okay? This is serious, serious stuff, all right? Now, here we go, those dark days. See, it's one thing to preach confession. It's another thing to go and listen to a message like this on confession. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the dark days. Again, like after that phone call with Bronk, he had to go right back into his closet facing the same darkness, the same problems, and it was him and the Word of God. Well, right in the midst of this thing with our three daughters, I was going, God, I don't know what to do. We didn't raise them like this. They know better than this. And where the enemy kept defeating me was, right along that line, he said, I have a right to them. They know better. They're choosing me. They're choosing to live this way. And we knew what all, or some of what they were doing. I'm glad I didn't know everything. I don't ever want to know. Anyway. But that's where he kept defeating me because because the enemy would, he'd say to me, they're choosing me. I have a right to them. Well, I didn't know what to do. And somehow, I don't remember how it happened, but somehow God got me to this passage in Isaiah 49. Now, look at this. Starting in verse 24. Shall the prey, now that's P-R-E-Y, like the animal that's about to be trapped or something, or killed. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Whoa, that got my attention. What is a lawful captive? Well, they did wrong. They were lawfully arrested. Now they've been imprisoned lawfully. That's exactly what my children were doing. They were lawfully captured. This is exactly what I wanted to know. Even though they were knowingly disobeying what they had been taught, could they be delivered? Oh, verse 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, notice, and I will save thy children. I'm telling you, that verse went off in me like a bomb. I had found the word that had to be sown in my heart. I shared it with Sue. Man, we come in agreement on that verse. I can't tell you how many times we would walk the floor and worship God and confess that verse over and over. Devil, you can't have our children. I don't care if they're choosing you. I don't care if they are a lawful captive. I've found out from God's word, my children will be delivered from the terrible. God will contend with you that's contend with me, and God himself will save my children. We'd walk the floor. We made some confessions during that time over our children, especially from Joel. Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy. They cast out devils. They preach the word of God. They serve him on and on and on. And we'd walk the floor. Now, the circumstances have not changed. They're still doing what they were doing. It was bad and it got worse, if you want to know the truth of it after that. Nothing in our emotions. Listen, when people come and ask you, how's everything going? There's a part of a human that wants to share the bad. I want you to pat me. I want you to pet me. I want you. See, it's one thing to give love. It's another whole thing to give sympathy. I didn't need no sympathy. I needed God's word to come true in my life. What I needed from a friend was someone who says, don't you quit on God. Don't you stop saying the word. You keep confessing his word. I needed someone to tell me God cannot lie. You hold his word is like the rain that comes down. If you'll continue with his word, it will not return unto him void. It will accomplish that for which I please. And I needed someone to love me enough to tell me that. Keep me in there. I didn't need no pity party. That doesn't mean we're not kind and thoughtful and loving, but I don't need no pity. I'm a conqueror. I'm not defeated anyhow. It's just trying to make me look defeated. Well, all I want to tell you is that it took time. It took circumstances. This didn't happen either overnight. It happened slowly over a span of several years. But one by one, all three of our daughters came back to the Lord. They all came back into the fold. And at different times, all of them have worked with us in the ministry. Amen. The devil does not have them, never will have them. And now they're raising their children in the nurture. And most of their children are grown now, already raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me give you another one. The reason I had to quit driving trucks back in 1990... The last time I drove a truck was December 4th, 1994. And what really caused it, I didn't know what it was at the time. I blacked out. Long story. We finally got the diagnosis, and I had a heart condition that I never really had before. And the trouble with this heart condition is it's incurable, they say, and it causes you to black out at times. How many of you knows it's not good to black out while you're driving an 80,000-pound rig down the highway? So I didn't drive trucks anymore after that. And they put me on this really strong medicine to control the symptoms. And it worked. As long as I would take that medicine, I had to take it four times a day in the beginning. It's called Verapamil. You may have heard of it. It regulates your heartbeat. And they said, well, you're just going to have to take this the rest of your life, because once you get this heart condition, there is no cure for it. And so you just have to take it. The trouble is, you read the side effects of that medicine, and it plainly tells you that it accelerates the onslaught of arthritis. Well, as a man in roughly 50 years old, the last thing I needed was the acceleration of any arthritis. Long story short, at first I heard a testimony about some guy that got in a prayer line, and so a healed man doesn't take medicine, so he went home and flushed his medicine down the toilet. And he was giving his testimony, so what did I do? I got in the prayer line, I went home and flushed my medicine down the toilet, and I nearly died. 7 days later, I had another episode and nearly died. So I come in and talk to Pastor Dave about it, what to do. And very lovingly, I did not need sympathy. Well, yeah, you know, that's right, you know, it's just tough. And in this life, you just got to bear certain things. Dave could have gone on like most of the preachers I grew up with. Yes, in this life, you know, you don't always get what you want. And you're just something going to have to live with. I'd be so crippled up by now with arthritis. Probably wouldn't be able to do anything. Dave gave me the truth. Lovingly, he told me, Gary, your problem is you don't believe your own preaching. What? Because I had been teaching on the power of confession a lot. He says, listen, God is not obligated to manifest healing because you flushed your medicine down the toilet. He said, God is obligated to manifest your healing the instant you believe his word. He said, what you need to do is in the natural, go get that prescription refilled and you begin taking it just exactly like the doctors told you to take it. But you do what you teach. You get three or four verses. You start confessing those verses every time you take the medicine. Say them out loud with your mouth every time. Well, I humbled myself. I did what my pastor said. I went and got the medicine refilled, and I began taking it. At that time, it was four times a day. I had three verses that I would confess every time. Sometimes I'd confess them for 5 minutes, sometimes longer. But see, I got serious about it. Remember when Bronk said he got serious about it? Well, I got serious about it. And again, I'm not trying to say that it takes 2 years for things to manifest. But in my case, it just happened to be, after about 6 months of doing that, I got an instruction from the Lord. He said, every third dose. Anyway, cut it down from four to three a day. 6 months later, two a day. 6 months after that, one a day. And 6 months after that, 2 years altogether, I was fixing to go get the prescription refilled. And he says, you don't need to refill it. You're healed. You'll never need that medicine again. Now, that was May of 1998. This is July of 2018. Pretty sure I'm healed. Haven't had that medicine in all these years. Now, twice that I can remember, Satan did come around for a counterattack. And I felt those symptoms come again, but I had learned by that time what to do. And I refused them. I just flat refused them. I walked the floor and spoke the word of God and quoted, and both times they left. But only twice in all of these years has he tried that. And if he tries it again, I know what to do the next time too. What I'm saying is, that word that you sow not only works for your finances. We had that testimony this morning from Pastor Brock. That's a pretty good week. Pretty good week, huh? After 2 years of darkness, can I say it that way? After 2 years of your emotions, every time you're about to go make your confessions, your emotions, and the enemy whispering in your ear, maybe shouting in your ear, this is not working. It's not doing anything. Look at your bank account. Go check your corn, if you'll allow me. But you keep doing it anyway. With our daughters, we kept doing it anyway. And the word worked with them, with my body. If I went today and asked them, they'd say, well, you can't be healed because what you have is incurable. And I'd be going, have you met my Father? This says all things are possible with him. You're talking from a three-dimensional point of view. But his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than his thoughts. And he gave me something that got me over that circle, and I'm living somewhere else. Amen? Amen. You are the sower of your garden. You are the sower. It's up to you. You want to live in the briar patch? Want to continue living with the thorns? Want to continue stopped by that mountain that's been standing right there in your way this whole time? Or are you going to get the word of God in your mouth? Blow that mountain into the sea. And instead of the briars and the thorns, start having some fruit trees grow up. Where first off, you can eat the fruit yourself. And you'll have an abundance left over to share that fruit with others. Excuse me, I got to go sow the word. Glory to God. He made it so simple. We have what we say. He made it so simple.